something of a serious or a press nature, if it's a fender bender, it's a fender bender. But if you have a fatality or a likely to die situation, or somebody that's been dismembered, God forbid, by, you know, your equipment and involvement with your equipment, do you have set up already an accident preparedness response team to say, this is the key person that gets notified, this is the one, and they come to the scene, they document the scene, they take statements independent from the driver talking to anybody, because the driver shouldn't be talking, he's an interested witness, and getting statements from people, bless you, and then be able to present that later in addition to police documents.
Well,
or
no,
responding.
This instance, it was actually the first one of the furthest point, like an hour and a half away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, somebody eventually got there, I eventually got there.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that happen.
But you don't have to get there immediately. I mean, if it's in a remote area, but you still need a team to respond. You need a plan of action to get there and secure the scene, photograph the scene, remove debris from the scene.
Right.
I'm sorry if I'm
No. That's, I mean, that's all, you know, the legal ramifications of the whole process. But
my first question, question was, how important, I mean, it's important, obviously, but I mean, It does,
Bob. If that statement was made, that's going to be on the police report. That's the other thing. How many times have you seen the police reports, and that's not it's not indicative of what actually took place at the scene? Have you seen erroneous police reports that you've had to contest, Mark? And how did that
change, though? By the time the cop went to the they hauled them both to the emergency room, and then by the time it changed, that the police report was the media reported that it was undetermined what the cause was.
Never believe the media.
Well, yeah. So later on, the police report reflected.
And that should be your response to the media.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the media is at the scene, listen. Here's the thing. Your drivers are not supposed to offer information. They're supposed to, again, safeguard the scene. And if they're in a position to communicate, they communicate what they're asked to communicate. You don't offer anything. You tell them. It's critical. You can impugn the investigate. You can impugn the status, if you will, of that claim for the insurance, for your carrier and your defense.
I see your point, but I think I disagree a little bit on that. Is on our accident kit, there's an order of what the driver's supposed to do. Because he shook up. So,
yeah.
Hey, just read the list. You know, check for injuries, secure the scene, take photos of the scene. As soon as the police are going to get there, they're going to get you to move the stuff. So you got to get photos before they get there. And if they're telling you to move, you have to ignore them until those pictures are there.
That's exactly right, Mark.
We'll bail you out of jail if they throw you in jail for that. But once it's all down and you're down to talking to the police officer, make sure the officer, you tell them in your report, the lights were on, I was going 4 miles an hour, my flags were on, and it was a posted construction zone. So that, even if it doesn't make it in the report, he can testify that he also told the police officer that that's in the report. So I see what you're saying, don't offer anything, don't say you're sorry, but that we require our drivers to offer when they're talking. Because it won't make it in the report unless they say it.
Well, and that's right. Maybe I should have rephrased. That's 100% right. I mean offering things out of fact.
Got it.
Because sometimes, like you said, they're in a position where, you know, things out of fact. And they are. They're shook up. And that's why you have to take each accident is different. There's severity sometimes. There's not. There's small fender benders. There's multiple parties involved. Intersection accidents, and we've, you know, over the years, I mean, I could tell you horror stories, but, and the reason why, you know, this is so important is because we've seen claims paid where they shouldn't have had to gone to the limits on the settlement that they did, and the only ones that suffer that are you guys. You suffer.
I've got a question. It's a little bit off topic, but I'll address it to our retired police officer.
Yes.
One of the challenges we have is it's not an injury accident, or maybe it's a very minor injury accident. And the police response is amazing. It's there because of all the cell phones, literally within 120 seconds sometimes of the accident.
Right.
And
that's amazing.
It is.
With the police response.
and I
was a New York City cop, so, you know, minor accidents were like, if your head isn't torn off, we're not coming.
There you go. But if it's blocking traffic and you take it up two lanes, you know, there's 300 cell phone calls going into dispatch at the same time.
Right.
And literally can walk out, are you okay, there's no blood, there's no severed limbs, you walk back, you get the camera, and they're there saying, move this truck. And as owners, we've got enough clout to stand up to someone and says, I need 2 minutes to take a picture.
Right.
But as the drivers, they don't.
Sure.
And it's a real challenge to get to politely tell a police officer, I need 30 seconds.
Right.
And they're in your face.
Right.
So how do we get reasonably get our pictures taken right. before we're chanced to have to move off the side of the road?
I think you're raising really a more of a local political issue. I was also an elected politician, too, for 10 years, too,
okay.
after I was a city cop, actually, in the town that we both live in. And it sounds like you're talking about a local political issue. I mean, you're a major contributor to that economy there and to that town, and they don't want to do anything to disrupt that, the local elected officials. They want to get reelected because they're so egotistical, most of these people. So you really should have a sit-down with them and the powers to be in the police department to say, hey,
here's the problem with that. In our area, we're dealing with 37
different cities.
Southern California.
Southern California.
You got 37 different cities, plus you got right. sheriff's department, plus you got everything.
So you're still talking about a statewide...
It's a statewide.
Yeah. It's you know what? Every situation is different. We've right. seen situations where the police are very amenable to having the... It is a case-by-case thing, Mark. I will tell you, though, how many people carry their own cameras in the trucks? There's the key. Before anything, again, if the operator's in a position physically to be able to handle that situation at the time, before the cops even show up, the picture should be taken.
You got to listen to the local authorities. If they tell you to move in, the guy's a jerk. I mean, you got to do it because you're going to wind up getting tires, overweight, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge, and we see more and more. But again, the camera in the vehicle circumvents having to wait for that to happen. Let the driver take the initiative up until the time, in fact, that the authority says you've got to just move it or tow has to come, if that's the case. The other thing is, you know, the who's carrying flares and all that stuff in the vehicles? You have the instructions. They set the flares, the whole thing, around the scene. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's critical. Who is in a position to have someone from dispatch, if it's a serious enough incident, you have to deem the seriousness level and where you're going to send dispatch out to the scene for your driver, because, again, the drivers get shook up. Sometimes they don't know what to say. Sometimes they're hurt. I mean, how... to get someone in your organization to respond, to be there while the authorities are there, that's another critical need and should be implemented in the organization without a doubt. Okay.
I just went through a situation where a guy was in a full-size mobile sweeper, raining, going in between two jobs, coming up, went up a hill and was coming down a gradual curve, and whatever reason, he lost control of the truck. It went up the embankment and flipped the truck. Walked 1.5 lanes. He called me immediately, just like he was supposed to. He was not coherent. Mm-hmm. Got his bell rung.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he was okay. You know, if he was, and he was. I told him to sit down, call 911. I was on my way to the job, or to the accident. Fortunately, I was close. I got there. The first responders were the police department, or no, the fire department. They were climbing all over the truck, looking for the... There was a rainbow of color on the ground, and yeah. It was raining.
Yeah.
And there's a drain basin down the road.
Yeah.
Luckily, we dammed that up right away. Nothing went down the drain. But the driver's walking around. And I said, I went up to my driver. I said, have you been checked out yet? He said, no. And the fire department's climbing all over the truck.
Yeah, see that, again, you know, some of these things, that's obscene.
But it was, and this is very important to having somebody there to manage the situation. You know, there were so many different things there. There was, you know, we had traffic coming around the corner. I had stuff going, potentially going down the drain. The driver hadn't even been looked at yet. So I got one of the fire department guys, and I said, you need to look at him.
Yeah.
He's got a gash on his head. So they sat him down, took all of his vitals. Then their attitude changed. They're like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the cops came. They're telling me, they're asking me for registration. And the guy's bugging me, adamant. I need your registration. I need the vehicle, all this insurance. I said, listen, it's okay to tell them. I need to take care of my driver. I need to take some pictures.
Oh, without a doubt.
Don't be afraid to do that.
And I think
that saved my life.
No, that's exactly. And listen, I'll tell you right now, and any of the, your lost control people, any counsel will tell, injury at the scene is first and primary.
Absolutely.
First and primary. Nothing else matters. Yeah. Injury at the scene. Hazmat doesn't matter. Injury at the scene is first and primary. Because that's where, whether it's your driver, to safeguard life and to prevent further injury or anything else, that's the first and foremost. So, you know, and again, it's an isolated incident, and that's too bad that I'm surprised that fire department didn't step up on that. But
there were so many different things to manage. I was on the phone in my parts store having them deliver grease sweep. When I was, you know, I called, had a truckload of grease sweep put downstream just in case. Then you're dealing with the workers' comp stuff afterwards. So
yeah,
that's something. Are you going to touch on
that? Yeah, I will. I'm going to touch on that now because that's really important about the operators who were involved in the incident and what should be done to mitigate or take care of the comp side of it. Real quick, I'll just get past all this stuff. And real quick, again, names, addresses, all that stuff is on your accident report kit. That goes without saying. As much about the other vehicle as you can get. This is also important. The names, Ken, speaking to that issue, try and get the names of the police. You know, Pat, I think you guess, get the shield numbers if it's agencies. Because, listen, they're not immune from doing the wrong thing. And we have seen that Pat actually is counsel for New York State Troopers. And these guys, if they don't do the right thing at the scene, they're also are subject to being brought in into litigation for the same issues. Mm-hmm. So they're not immune from it. And that fire department is a clear case. You know, get the names, get the department, get the information. Your carrier is going to want to know that because of the work comp side. They may have subrogation opportunities. Subrogation means they can go back and recover loss for possibly how that scene was handled by those agencies, by those departments. Yeah. And in some cases, the operator themselves, if they weren't treated, and they can take personal litigation against the policing agency or fire departments. And we've seen that happen. That happens, you know, more times than it should, unfortunately. But then that's a clear reason why. Because they didn't respond properly, so that get those reporting agencies' names and
everybody, information. Even the Department of Sanitation showed up for the water department for the downstream stuff, and I got their names, and I also got their seal of approval, and I wrote everything down. You know, they said, "Hey, nothing went down the drain. We're good," and I wrote down their names the time I talked to them.
That's critical because the hazmat hole is a whole other thing. Just because you had an accident and after everything was all done and there was pollution that was cited as a result of the incident, you will be brought in separately for that, unfortunately. And that whole environmental thing is something we'll talk about. That's going to be the next seminar, is going to be this whole environmental liability thing. Pat, is there anything else you want to add to that on the reporting?
No, I mean, that's just critical. Don't be afraid to ask a cop his name or a firefighter their name or an ambulance or a sanitation person or, you know, a Department of Environmental Conservation if they come. Get their names, get their shields, get their supervisor's name. You've got a right to all that information.
This one right here.
Before you go, this is three slides back.
Yep.
The accident kit you showed. Those kits, you can get that vinyl case at Staples. It's for making bank deposits. So you'll never find it unless you're going to that kind of thing.
Is that right?
It's a vinyl little case with a zipper on it, and it keeps everything clean. You keep your pen and your camera in there.
Especially, that's critical. That's a good point because the machine's running dust and, you know.
You can just throw it in the glove box because it gets all messed up.
Right.
That's a good point.
The truck's on its side, the mailbox, the glove box is everywhere, but you can still find that.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Mark. Thanks.
And when you need to update it, you have all the drivers bring your kit in, office updates it, and they go right back out again.
Yeah, the reports, especially, sometimes it gets scribbled up when you guys get them back there. Try and, you know, if they are, have somebody in the office just remake that report to the point where it's, legible. Did I miss that fault? That's the one I want to, this. Again, that's the factual stuff we're talking about, Mark, which is this fault thing. I mean, Pat, and sometimes maybe it is, but in some, in some case, but don't let your driver be, judge and jury at the scene.
Sorry.
Exactly. Don't let your driver be judge and jury at the scene. If you want to throw something in on that, Pat, I don't know, but that's the worst thing for your company.
Again, it goes towards being able to respond, to have people respond to the scene and get your driver separated and apart from any law enforcement agencies and get a statement from your driver quickly and have him memorialized with somebody independent. If you can get your attorney out there, that's even better. You know, I mean, we respond to, I mean, we have a 24/7 service. We respond to shootings. We respond to critical incidents all over, you know, in our areas. So we're used to having attorneys go out at 3 in the morning and talking to people that are all shaken up. Just like your driver. He didn't know what he was saying walking around. You know, you got a tragic incident, a critical incident. The people that are involved are not thinking straight, and they're saying all sorts of jibber-jabber. You need people to direct and say, hospital. And matter of fact, once you go to the hospital, you ain't talking to nobody. You ain't talking to the cops. You're not talking to anybody but your doctor who's taking care of you. You're in shock. You don't know what you're saying. You got a head injury? You got head trauma? Nope. Those statements are worth nothing until we get a doctor that says you're okay to talk. So, you know, you don't have to interact if you have a critical injury or a serious injury or something that could be construed as a serious injury.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is these... the carrier, when they get those statements, when they see those statements, they cringe. Because, again, it all comes back to the cost of having incidences. So the safeguarding process and what to say, what not to say, all that stuff is critical. Let me get into cause. Again, that's a fault issue, but don't speculate who, what, when, where. State fact. And there's a lot of finger pointing at the scene, especially when you guys have a target on your vehicle. Your target on your back is the name of your company. As soon as you have a name of your company stuck on a unit, that's a bullseye for them to call their counsel and to initiate litigation, regardless of what you think the severity that may be. Well, I just want to speak quickly about, there have been some unfortunate instances, and it's going to happen. I mean, that's why you buy insurance. And that's why you do the training that you do, and hopefully to mitigate some of this. When you have real bad incident scenes, and unfortunately, I know some of our members over the years have had those situations, but have caused, in some cases, very severe trauma and death, and in a lot of cases, not through anyone's fault. Sometimes it's just purely an accident. And to have someone come out, and to, if you can have response by your internal, you people yourselves, your own as owners, in these severe specific instances, goes a long way to how these claims will be handled, you know, down the road. I know of one main incident, one of our members that you know, a claim I think in 1992, and that litigation for that accident on that rail way is, I was talking to this contractor over the week, and that claim is still not settled. There are numerous deaths and injury and all kinds of stuff that were related to that. But that can happen to us at any time. So, and it all has to do with, you know, heading it off at the pass, at the accident scene. Does anybody want to throw anything in there? Are you familiar with this? Regs, actually reporting regs. Motor carriers have to maintain an accident register in the vehicle. I think we're talking more on the CDL trucks. This is DOT specific. You're going to have to maintain those registers regardless.
Actually, I think it's federal, but as a sweeper, you can't be a motor carrier unless you have somebody, something else. In fact, on the federal application, you would have to perjure yourself to apply for motor carrier permit.
On the sweeping side.
Yeah, I
was trying to tie this in. Some of the paving guys.
With
some of the that's why, you know, if there's anyone in the room that's doing that stuff and carrying some of those bigger rigs, just be aware of this reg. It's important. State regs, like I said earlier, vary state to state. Just be cognizant of what those are. Is that the last one I had? I just wanted to talk quickly about... All right, here's if you go all the way to the back, just some quick points. 90% And this is where I wanted to really elaborate on the summer. All this other stuff is most of you guys are already doing. 90% of all accidents are human error. 90%. Cell phone, Bob, sometimes your drivers are on the cell phones. You know, this issue, I will tell you right now, cell phone law in your state, if that's considered to be the cause of the incident, you will receive a citation. If your operator receives a citation, I will guarantee you that it will run down the road of gross negligence. Would it not, Pat, in the defense of that?
It's certainly going to come into the theory of liability that the plaintiff's attorney is going to attach to your company through vicarious liability. You're responsible for the acts of your employee through negligent hiring, through negligent retention, through mistraining, no training. Did he follow the rules? Is it a policy for you guys to let them communicate? Who was he talking to? Was he talking to the office on that phone? Did you know he was driving the truck when he was talking? These are all things that are fair game for an attorney to delve into as a plaintiff's attorney to say, this is why this company should be fined and should be actually charged punitively. I mean, there's cases in Texas where I'm admitted where companies have been fined punitive damages because they allowed their employees to conduct themselves in such a way that wasn't appropriate, that the company was fined up to 13% of its net worth as a punitive damage. So it can get crazy out there. You have to train them. You have to maintain the records of the training. You have to maintain those cell phone records, the GPS records, if you have GPS in your trucks. And you have to maintain them for years if you have an accident especially, and for a reasonable amount of time, whatever your state and locality determines that to be. Because if you don't have those records and claims pop up, then you can get later on in litigation what they call a charge of spoliation, which means that you've intentionally destroyed these records. And if a jury or a judge gets that, he has to take what's called an adverse inference against you that you destroyed it because there was something bad in there that you didn't want coming out. So it's just so key, and I know it's tedious, but unfortunately it's the cost of doing business today in this environment that a lot of attorneys have created and big government has created. Big government wants to be in your pocket every day to take more and more out of it, you know, and this is part of it. And so, but you got to document and keep yourself as safe as you can.
Who has the CDL driver status in your operation? We've had, okay, some of our worst cases that we've seen over the last 15 years have been a non-CDL operator involved in an incident operating a CDL vehicle. It happens. Don't ever, if you're running low on a driver and you got to throw them, you know, you think you can sneak them in the unit. Remember, even if you're doing a night, run somewhere and you think the exposure is minimal, remember who's out on the road in the middle of the night when most of you guys are doing your work. What's out there? Uninsured operators that hit us that are usually drunk. However, and you know, I just keep going back to counsel relative to how that's handled on the legal side. Your defense is drunk operator slams into your guy, hurts your guy or girl, whatever it may be, serious bodily injury, property damage, the whole nine yards. If your operator was not operating the vehicle properly with a proper license, regardless of that situation, you've just mitigated your defense. Just by that one thing, regardless of how bad it may have been. Drunk driver, no insurance, crossed the line, whatever may have happened, you had an operator in that vehicle that shouldn't have been in there at the time of that incident. Don't let it happen. So just not once, because usually we see that's when that stuff happens. It's that one time. So. Can't speak enough about that. The maintenance records is the next thing. Whose operators are responsible for their own vehicle maintenance on their own designated units? The pre-trip checks and the post, your operators are all designated to perform that. That's critical to the maintenance records. They're going to subpoena those records first and foremost for your defense. Make sure you have them. Thanks, Mark. Physical condition, let me just get back to the unit. Has anybody had incidences with their units where the vehicle was deemed not to be roadworthy at any time? Or was the vehicle at the time of an incident? What happened in that case, Gary? I'm just curious.
Well, we are now keeping very good records.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the State Patrol and the DOT came in and informed me that here's what you have to do to deem yourself not, you know, liable, because you have to check your truck every day. You have to have proof that you check your truck every day. It has to be signed off if there's something wrong with the truck. It has to be signed off when it's repaired. He says, then that saves your tail. But he says,
without a doubt,
I'm here to tell you this. You don't have to do it. But the next time I see you, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah. That's just on the infraction side.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
regard that. Forget about that. That's bad enough in itself. If it's if you're in an incident, they, like Pat says, you know, the claimant counsel is going to have a field day with that stuff. And
right.
again, yeah. they do. And it's
overweight.
Getting worse. We're seeing it.
Well, I had, and I don't know how it happened, but the brakes were adjusted the wrong direction. So he. Basically, the operator came up to stop at it.
Right.
And the guy in front of him, of course, stopped quick.
Yeah.
Well, he just tapped the bumper.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But then they had to pull over. Well,
sure.
State Patrol showed up.
Right.
State Patrolman and I was there.
First thing they go look, the maintenance records.
He throws on his coveralls, he grabs his creeper underneath. Out of the back and underneath, and he goes, this truck is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
He says, your brakes are adjusted all the way out. Not in. Of course, we had to repair the truck right on site.
Right.
And, but I don't know what happened, why it got adjusted that way. It wasn't on purpose.
Sometimes, sometimes it happens.
The guy must have been a great mechanic doing it with his head up his tail.
Yeah.
You know, because he found the brake to adjust it the wrong way.
But you have to get your mechanics that are DOT certified too.
No,
do this.
That one wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's the key. That's the key. You have to, because,
yeah.
you know, God forbid there had been a fatality or something in that one.
Oh, yeah. Oof. No, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, no disrespect, but I wouldn't mind representing the people on the other side.
No, yeah,
and that's
no.
the way attorneys are. You know, they're going to go into you and say, where's those maintenance records? Where's your driver records? Where's your alcohol? Was alcohol involved here? I mean, if you look at that Title 49 of the Code of Federal Regulations, which really, it really governs interstate commerce trucking. But if you look at all the mandates that they have for your vehicle, for your drivers, for the operation of the vehicle, for the maintenance of records, that's a great template for you guys to look at to say, you know what, if I follow the majority of this stuff, it really minimizes my exposure anywhere. You know, so if you can do it, and it let that be your guidepost, you know, in the local situations, because then you can go to this, no, we follow XYZ, and we take this right out of the federal code, and that will be an unbelievable defense for your insurance defense counsel, your private counsel, to say, no, look at what we do. We do over and above, you know.
And that's what we try to do. I mean, we send our trucks out and have them DOT inspected.
Right.
All the time,
right.
every year. So.
Right, good.
Yeah. I can't tell you enough that's what happens more and more. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. The economy is perpetuating this type of litigation, and we're just seeing more and more of it. So you guys have to implement all the safeguards, and these you know, these reserves are, the more that you do to defend yourselves against that, the better off you're going to be, and less costly it will be for you in the long run. Without a doubt. Any horror stories? I love, anybody got any horror stories? Come on. Any horror stories? No? That's a good thing, man. You can always tell having a seminar on Saturday after the show is the worst time.
I got a workers' comp one, but I can hold off on that.
All right. Well, let me speak quickly about this comp thing, too. This all ties in. Your operator's injured in the incident. Again, you want to have the operator. That was a bad situation. I can't believe the fire department acted in that regard. But if there's not proper on-scene medical attention provided for injury to your operators or others, that again is going to, your operator is going to come back naturally has to file a comp claim, and that's by law that has to be done. But sometimes the extensiveness of that treatment and work loss, potential work loss, can be offset by on-scene and proper steps that are taken up until the time, hopefully, that that operator can get back in the cab. But the comp is also like, how these procedures affect the comp side of it. It's almost like your general insurance on the auto side. You have a compensation mod factor that's tied directly to, it's a factor that's tied to the losses that are promulgated over the term of that work comp policy for the year. So again, just like on the auto side, anything you can do to mitigate that keeps the mod down, because once the modification factor is applied, it can go over a 1.0, which gets into the debit side. You have your standard comp rates, based on payroll and based on the class, and then they apply that, and they have a total premium. And then if the losses were significant, the mods increased, and then you get charged in addition to your baseline rating. So that all ties into how these on-scene incidences are handled. Because these are the guys that are, that's the focus group, if you will, of your organization, are your operators. They're out there with the high-priced assets. They're out there hopefully they're making money for you. I mean, that's what they're out there for. So that's your core group. I mean, these are the people that need to be trained emphatically. I mean, they have to adhere to these procedures, and those are the ones you need to protect. You want them back in the cab. Well, maybe not all of them, but most of them. I mean, that's why you hire them. And you spend the money to train them, and you implement all these procedures. But the indirect cost can be exorbitant if this stuff's not followed, let alone what the problems are in trying to defend.